Good to see you guys here this morning. Bless you. I know that you're looking forward to a great week. 4th of July week is always a great week. So I'm into a mini-series, second part right now, and probably third part next Sunday. And it's called Revelation is God's Invitation. Revelation is God's Invitation. Now, let me try. I need to just recap to get you guys to where I am. Otherwise, I will start too far in, and second service won't be able to catch up. Okay, so a little introduction. So let me try and summarize what we're talking about in this series. And I don't want to talk to you about what God does. I want to talk to you about why God does it. So I want to pull back the curtain, and we're going to look at God's ways. God's ways. What's he thinking? What's he's planning? What's he's trying to do? And we're going to look at how God's ways is interacting with our journey in life, how God is walking with us in this journey, okay? So this is it. When we receive a revelation about God, now, the word revelation is like a spiritual word. It's in the Bible quite a lot. But if you would like to use a secular word, the word epiphany might work. We receive an epiphany. It's like, whoa, the lights go on. You know that? Oh, what just happened? And you get this epiphany. So that is what a revelation, spiritual revelation, is like. So when we receive a revelation about God, it is an invitation to partake of that characteristic of God so that we can go deeper, further, higher into a different relationship with God. Transformation takes place with this. When we have this interaction with God, there's a transformation that takes place in our thinking, and then we become that revelation to the world. Okay, I know I said a lot. I know. So we're going to break it down. We're going to walk you through this so that you can get this, because this is how God is dealing with you every day, even with the world. This is how God deals with us. And if we get this, we'll understand the journey that we're on. So we start this journey by we receive a revelation. When we receive a revelation from God, primarily it is to enhance our relationship with him. You see that? Because we are in a relationship with God, not a religion with God. Okay? That's what it's a relationship. Now, the revelation must ultimately produce transformation. You see, if there is revelation and no transformation, all we received was information. Now, information is not bad. Information is good. We go to school for information. We go to college for information. But in the Christian world, if all you're getting is information, like how many books are in the Bible, who wrote what, and so on, who died when, and whose king was what, all you're going to become is a fathead. You're going to know all of this knowledge that doesn't produce anything for you. So you can be a PhD in theology and actually know nothing practical about living for God or even know God. You can know the whole Bible and be like such a smart person. You can answer all the questions, but you actually don't know God. So, revelation, information, transformation. There's got to be a transformation. So, every time we receive a revelation or an epiphany, God is actually inviting us to partake of what's being offered. Right? He's inviting us to partake. So therefore, revelation is God's invitation. Okay? But as you know, you've sent out invitations to events that you were having. People have sent you invitations. You didn't always go. Which means you didn't get to enjoy the party. You didn't get to go. You didn't get to enjoy it. Which means that a revelation, which is an invitation, has to be accepted. It's easy to be rejected. It's easy. And you can shut it down. You could be in the congregation. Invitation comes out to receive Jesus. and you shut it down. Revelation of Jesus comes, but you shut it down, which means you don't partake of the party. You don't get to get or partake of what God is trying to give you. You shut it down. So it's not God's fault. Even though he gives you the revelation or gives you the invitation, you still have your own will and you can shut it down. All right? Okay. So to those who are open and to those who receive, we move into this greater, deeper, more far-reaching relationship with God. And as we move into this relationship with God, there is this change, transformation that occurs with us. So, transformation then indicates that there must have been mind renewal. There must have been a change in our thinking pattern. Has to be. Because we cannot receive from God what he's offering until we change the way we think about him. He could be offering you something, and you could be thinking, nah, couldn't be. So you're shutting off what he's trying to offer you because you're not thinking that way. So you have to change the way you think. It's called mind renewal, okay? Now, that works, and we'll give you a scripture in a moment. But let me just ask you this question. How many of you would like to have a life of significance, a meaningful life, okay? So on your tomb, you're going to have something written about who you were, something significant about you. So, you know, on Jackie's tomb, I'm going to write, she is fabulous. Yes. Right, because, you know, if you ask her how she's doing, she's always fabulous. And when she gets to heaven, she's going to be more fabulous. Yes. Right? But what are you going to write on your tomb? Are you going to say, a person of destiny, achieved my destiny, was a zillionaire? What are you going to write on? She was a great father. That would indicate what you're thinking your destiny is about. But let me say this to you. That nobody on earth can actually fulfill their destiny without a revelation of God's character and attributes that support your destiny. You can become a zillionaire. It doesn't make any difference. Without God, you haven't achieved your destiny. If you're not achieving God's destiny for you, does it matter what you're achieving? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So all of these public speakers that are out there motivating people and everything else to achieve your destiny, achieve, if they leave God out of the picture, then they're doing you a disservice. They're leading you astray. They're leading you to chase after the worldly things and the prosperity of the world and success of the world. But without God's attributes involved in it, it doesn't go anywhere with it. Now listen to this verse, Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You have to get this, all right? You have to get this. You'll notice that this verse says, be transformed by renew of your mind, and then you get to prove God's will. Then you get to approve God's will. So it's only the renewed mind that is given authority to test God's will. Only the renewed mind is given the authority to approve the will of God. So, let me take you a little step deeper before we really get going. God has chosen to reveal his kingdom, the kingdom of God, to and through the renewed mind. God works through people. And until the mind is renewed, the mind is not receiving the principles of the kingdom, not operating in the principles of the kingdom. So God chooses to reveal the kingdom of God to and through the renewed mind. The renewed mind is the mind that is meditated in the Word of God and allowed that Word of God to change you. When you meditate in the Word of God, what happens? You read the Bible, you read the Bible, and you go, whoa, that's awesome. Well, you just had an epiphany. You just got a revelation. And every time you get a revelation like that, it's God's invitation to bring about transformation. So, no meditation, no revelation, no revelation, no invitation. No invitation, no transformation. I got that in the first service. I thought I'd just give it out. Tried my best to remember that. You want to hear it again?
Yes.
Not enough of you. All right, so, oh, there's, okay. No meditation. No revelation. No revelation, no invitation. No invitation, no transformation. All starts with the meditating in God's word. Now this scripture says, based on this renewal, I could go this far and say that the Holy Spirit only manifests through the renewed mind. Holy Spirit cannot work through somebody who doesn't even believe he exists. You see where I'm coming from now? All right. If you're constantly, well, not you, if a person is constantly rejecting, pressing back against the Holy Spirit, not yielding to the Holy Spirit, how can the Holy Spirit manifest through that person? Can't do it. Just won't happen. So, don't be conformed to this world. Why would God say that? Because everything God does is exactly opposite. Everything. When the world says take, he says give. When the world says hate, he says forgive. You know, when the world says, you know, you need to grab this and climb up and get proud and everything, God says humble yourself. So like you can't win doing it the world's way. In fact, I like to say it this way. You can't do what this world expects of you and expect to receive rewards from this world. God is not going to honor what you do in that world. He's only going to honor what you do in this world. So you've got to get over to this side and begin to do the spiritual things and get the rewards from the spiritual realm that God wants to give you, which far superior to the world. So don't conform to the world. Begin to do it another way. You see, according to the scripture we've just read, it says that the renewed mind enables the will of God that is currently being done in heaven to actually manifest in this tangible realm. He says, the renewed mind allows you to test and to prove the will of God. Good, perfect will of God. You can actually have it. So the will of God as it is right now in heaven manifests in the tangible realm through the renewed mind. No renewed mind. You cannot have that perfect will of God in your life. Right. Renewing your mind is critical. Absolutely. Every time you come to church, you will receive an epiphany. You will receive some revelation of God, and that is a revelation by invitation to come and partake of what God is offering you. Again, you can reject it. You don't have to receive it. So coming to church is actually more important than you think. It is definitely more important. It's kind of like, well, I don't feel like going to church today. You know, well, guess what? We're just going to miss out on what God is offering on the dinner service. What is he offering to eat that day? We're going to stay home and miss it. So we don't want to do that. Amen? We want to get it. So let me show you a practical example of how this works. I can't go back and do what I did this morning service, but if you were not here at the 9 o'clock service, I highly recommend you go and listen to it. So let's build upon that. Let me talk about a revelation of God as our healer. It's a revelation, an epiphany, okay? Invitation. And we get Exodus from the Old Testament, chapter 15, verse 26, says, I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord that heals you. Now remember this. Remember, Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus always did what the Father wanted him to do. He followed the Father in every way. He revealed the Father to us perfectly, correct? He was the perfect image. In fact, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. He was the perfect image. Did Jesus ever make anybody sick? No. Ever. So nobody should say God made them sick, because Jesus is perfect theology. If Jesus did not make anybody sick, we dare not accuse God of making somebody sick, because Jesus did not. So we're contradicting the image of the Father or the will of the Father as presented to us by his perfect image, Jesus. And since Jesus didn't do it, how dare we say God did it? Did he injure anybody? Did he cause storms or did he calm storms? How dare we say God caused it? Are you with me? Okay, so remember, Jesus is perfect theology. Judge your theology against Jesus. All right. So now, let's see. In Matthew 8:17, it said, and thus Jesus fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities, and he bore our diseases. And then again in 1 Peter 2:24, he, Jesus, personally bore our sins in his own body to the tree, which was the cross. By his wounds we have been healed. So, this revelation of God, our healer, is an invitation to walk with God in a new relationship. As God is our healer, that would change the relationship you have with God. So you've got to change the way that you think about God. Before you can get healed, you have to change the way that we think about God. Because we think, God is the one that made me sick. God makes people sick. Maybe God doesn't want to heal me. So the way we're thinking about God has to change. So we have to get an epiphany or a revelation that God is our healer. And then we enter into a new relationship. It's deeper with God than we've ever been before. It's higher than we've ever been before. And there's a transformation that occurs. And that revelation that God is our healer, we take on one of those attributes and we come into a relationship with God. He is our healer. So our sick bodies are now healed because of this revelation, because of this mind renewal, transformation takes place. Sickness becomes health. Do you see how it works out?
Yes.
Okay. So, the will of God, which is healing, is now manifested in this tangible realm through the renewed mind. Once that takes place, I said, once that transformation takes place, we become that revelation to the world. As I said in the earlier service, when you get born again, become a child of God, you receive the revelation of who Jesus is, you get born again, become a child of God, and then you become God to the world. You become the flesh body of God to the world. And the Bible tells me that you should become, in transit, a perfect representative of Jesus to the world. That's God's plan. That's the journey that you're on. Whether we know that or not, that is a journey that we're on. So, watch what Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 17. I just want to confirm what I'm sharing with you. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes. Doesn't mean you must go and do that. With their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, again, just go to any restaurant to make sure you pray, because this is what it's talking about. It will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, watch me, listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. It's a time for an epiphany. This is revelation for you. The revelation of healing via the laying on of hands is God answering prayer through us who have responded to the invitation to a deeper, closer, more intimate, higher relationship with God. God answering prayer through us. You see that? We think that, you know, we've got to lay hands and pray, but the Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. So you got the hands, find the sick, lay it on, and God is actually answering the prayer of the sick through you because you received the revelation and the invitation, which you then accepted, and then you came up to a new level, a different relationship with God. There was transformation that occurred in your life, and now you become the revelation. You're now walking out this revelation, and you are the answer to prayer because you took and received and accepted the revelation. I know you stunned. I know. Let me give you another one. Okay, let me give you another one. As pertains to our freedom from slavery to sin and the devil, and we all know that we've been set free from the power of the devil and from the power of sin. It doesn't have any power. But I want to use Moses as an example. As you know, Moses was Israel's deliverer, right? He was sent by God to deliver Israel. But now watch what happens here. And a lot of people miss this because they just talk about how Israel, you know, were beaten up for 400 years and they were slaves to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And then they got out and all those kind of things that happened, all the plagues and stuff like this. But they miss this. And remember, I'm not talking about what God does. I'm talking about his ways. I'm talking about why. Why, God? What are you thinking? And unfortunately, that's who I am. I'm always asking the why question and trying to find out what are you thinking by this, and if I can understand, God helps me to understand, then it makes a big difference to me. When I was studying in college, and I finished my college when I was 21 years old, completed 4 years, I learned something about studying. I never tried to actually memorize or learn the information. I actually tried to understand it. And the moment I understood it, I remembered it instantly. I never had to force myself to remember it. The moment I understood it, I could just tell you what was going on like that. So it was a secret that I applied in my own life. Now watch this. In Exodus 7 and verse 16, God says to Moses, he says, then say to Pharaoh, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. And everybody reads over that and thinks, he's lying because he was trying to escape with them. I'm going to worship them and come back and go there and do the sacrifices and come back. But in actual fact, when Moses told Pharaoh to let God's people go, it was not only to bring them out of a life of slavery into freedom, but specifically to bring them to a new place of worship. I let you think about that. And that's why what you shared this morning was important, Amanda. A new place of worship. You see, now watch this. When God gives us the revelation, it is a what?
Invitation.
Okay. To walk in a renewed, different walk with God. When God gives us the revelation of the freedom from slavery to sin and slavery to the devil, what he's actually doing at the same time is he's giving us a revelation, which is again an invitation, a desire for us to have a new relationship with him centered on worship and thanksgiving. We are not freed from Satan, his power, and sin just to say, I'm freed. And come to church and go, that was close. Nearly didn't make that, huh? Yeah. Glad. Are you free? Yeah, you're free. Good, good. All free? We're free. Okay. All right. Enough already. We go home. We're going. We're all free. No. God always takes you out of to bring you into. God never takes you out of and just leaves you out of. When he takes you out of the world, he baptizes you into Christ. And then he baptizes you in water. He never takes you out of just to leave you. He always takes you out of to take you into. When he brings you out of slavery to sin and delivers you from that bondage to set you free, he brings you to a new level of praise and worship and thanksgiving. That's where we're supposed to be. That's the journey that we're on. And see, a lot of people stop short because they go, I'm saved. That's good. I come to church. That's it. I'm saved. We're all good. No. You're only halfway. You're a half-baked cookie. You know, it's like taking the chocolate cake out of the oven when it's not done. Nobody can eat it. It's good for nothing. Hebrews 12:28. Since we are receiving, watch this now, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful. Everybody say thankful. And please God by worshiping him. Say this, I please God by worshiping him. Why do you think at the Promised Church we focus on worship and make it such a big deal? Because we know in that worship we are actually pleasing God. But wait, there's more. There's more. Listen to this verse from Ephesians 5 and 19. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all of your heart to the Lord. Do you know that you become like the one you worship? Whatever you're worshiping, you become. Whether you're worshiping God or a movie star or a sports star or money or whatever it is that's captivating you and becoming your heart, you become like that. So worshiping God has transformation qualities. And we're talking about transforming. We're talking about receiving a revelation, an invitation to be transformed by the attributes of God and then being transformed into a worshiper. When we receive the revelation of the deliverance, we become a worshiper. And watch this. We become, oh Jesus, we become the revelation to others. Remember that about the healing? Yeah. So when we worship in spirit and truth, people who are not go. Right. And we become the revelation to the non-worshipper. Amen. Of what it looks like. Of how does somebody who has been set free now live their life in the new world. Amen. And now in the new world, I'm a revelation to the old world of what it looks like. And the kingdom of God and His will is now manifesting through the renewed mind. Amen. In the tangible realm. Yes. And the will of God is being perfected in the earth. Amen. And we become the will of God manifested in the tangible realm. Amen. I'm going to keep it short this morning. The devil is afraid of a worshiping tribe. Absolutely. He doesn't mind a complacent, non-participating worship. Because it actually works opposite to the genuine, heartfelt, real worship. You know, Amanda, she said some things here this morning, and I know it was by the Spirit, because complacent worship, non-participating worship, not only works against the person, it desensitizes them to the Holy Spirit. Remember what happened to Amanda? She came forward, she jumped right into worship, and she was in worship, and suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to her. She became sensitive when she entered into worship. Right. Had she stayed in the shallow milk and honey at the back, and our church is very small, so all rows at the back, you might as well be in the front, you're all getting it. Anyway, everybody take one step forward, we're all in the front, okay? So I'm not pointing any fingers. But the shallow non-participating worshiper is missing out and desensitizing themselves to the move of the Spirit. In fact, I'll go further if you can take this. Complacent, non-participating worship is actually an oxymoron. It can't be called worship. Because someone attends the first 20 minutes of a church service when people are praising and worshiping, that doesn't mean that they're participating in praise and worship. That means they're just there. But they're not participating in it. So, why would that happen? Well, perhaps because their relationship with God is a matter of convenience. You see, you can't have a relationship with God that is convenient and sacrificial at the same time. God has called us to make sacrifices. And one of them is get out of bed on Sunday morning. Aren't you glad he spoke to you this morning? Got the invitation? Amen. And you responded. But there are other sacrifices that he's called you to make. It may be in the realm of finances. When you first start out tithing, at first, it's a sacrifice. I must be honest with you, it's a sacrifice. Because you don't understand the principles necessary that's behind this. And I think, I need this money. I'm not going to be able to get through the month if I have to give away 10%. So it becomes a sacrifice. Until we understand that God is actually going to bless us in this, and then it doesn't become a sacrificial participation anymore. It becomes a willing participation because guess what? I received a revelation, an invitation to prosperity, an invitation to walk with God in a higher level, and then guess what? I become the revelation that if you give. I become the revelation to the world and to the believers who are not. Because I'm walking in the revelation. I can go anywhere with this. This is what the Bible's all about. It's all about this. So, if you want a life of significance, and the reason why many people don't have a life of significance is because they will not make the effort. They will not make the effort. They just won't do what it takes. They desire this life, but they won't do what it says. I mean, if you're going to move on with God, so God is reaching out all the time. He's trying to get the revelation to us as much as he can on various things. And that's why coming to church is so important. And every time you don't come to church, it's a day you missed an epiphany. It's a day you missed God inviting you to come to a new level with him. All right? So once the nature of the Lord has been revealed to us. We have this revelation. We get the invitation. We come into a new understanding of the nature of God. Once the nature of God has been revealed to us, we lose the right to continue a pattern of thought that is contrary to this revelation. So, I've just thrown out the one about healing. We could throw out the one about prosperity, God wanting to bless you. Once you get the revelation, God actually wants to bless you, not keep you poor. Now you can't any longer go back and think along the lines, God wants to keep me poor. You don't have the right to think that because you had a revelation. If you haven't had the revelation, continue in that way and you will be, you know, God will continue reaching out to you until that epiphany hits you. And it's the same about worship. It's the same about worship. It is a revelation. It is an epiphany. It is something that happens to you inside. You go, whoa, this is awesome. This, like, raising my hands and worshiping God, it's like, this is awesome. This is amazing. I feel different. Something is going on inside of me. What is going on? Well, God is busy working in you because worship has transformation qualities. While you're worshiping God, the Holy Spirit is busy working in you, taking you from glory to glory, perfecting that which concerns you, and bring you into the image of Jesus. Because you're becoming like the one you worship. So it's not just we're going to clap and sing 3 or 4 songs and we're done. No, 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 no. It's transformation time. From the very moment you sit inside the church, you go to the prayer meeting, you go to the worship, it's transformation time. Church is all about being transformed. So let me try and summarize it briefly and it will send you home. All right? So, when God gives us a revelation, what is it? It's an invitation. It's an invitation to partake of the nature of God and for our relationship with God to be enhanced. It's going to be changed. It's going to be enhanced. If that happens, then there will be transformation. There will be a change in us. Caused by that revelation, the truth of that revelation. And that means that our mind must have changed the way that we think. So we would have had a mind-renewing experience. Because now we're seeing God differently. We accept the invitation, we're seeing God differently. And the outworking of this change is not only the change in the enhancement of our relationship with God, But the fact that we become his representative of that revelation to the world and to other believers. I'm going to quit there. Enough for you to think about. I'll continue next week, okay? And if you didn't get the first service, go and listen, because I covered a bunch of different stuff in the first service. All right, every eye closed.